want to say a couple things as we get started here. Players are back in the building this week, so it's a really exciting time of year. It gets a little lonely around here for the months after the season before they return for the off-season program. So have great attendance. Players came back in shape the first couple days. They're working on a lot of things on their own with the strength and conditioning staff for the first couple weeks of the program. And in a couple weeks, our coaches can get their hands on them and start working with some football things. So really exciting time of year. In terms of the draft prep, I want to take a minute to thank everyone, especially in the personnel department, Kyle O'Brien, Lance Newmark, all the college scouts. These guys put in an inordinate amount of time in terms of travel, time away from their families, draft meetings, all-star games, combines, pro days, interviews, you name it. Not only just Kyle and Lance, but all the college scouts, all the people that work in the personnel department here in Allen Park. The coaches, they were on the road a lot here the last month or so, working out some players, getting to know some of the prospects, and also some of the people behind the scenes in terms of support staff, the medical department, which plays a big role into the whole draft process. So really happy that, it's almost draft week. We've got another week to go, but a lot of hard work over the last 12 months getting ready to improve the football team. That's what our goal is. I think it's a really well-rounded draft this year, really at all levels, early in the draft, middle of the draft, late round to rookie free agents. There's guys that we feel that can help our football team, and that's what we're setting out to do next week. We have 8 picks right now, 2 in the 6th round, 1 in each other rounds. We're open for business. The phone's been ringing a little bit. I'm sure that will heat up here in the next 4 or 5 days. But, with that, I'll open it up to questions. Mike?
Given what you just said, do you think it's deep enough at the places you might be looking for help and also give you flexibility if you want to make a move at that point in the draft? I know it's kind of a two-pronged opportunity there.
Yeah, I think to answer your question, yes. I think there's depth at the positions that we're looking at, and we're looking at a number of different positions. I'm big into the best player available. That also has to, I mentioned it last year, best player available, meshing with kind of what your needs are in your team. So I think you kind of have to look at both avenues when you're making decisions in the draft. But this year has a number of prospects, like I said, at each level. It's not just the first round. It's all throughout the draft. And I'd say, it's a little bit different this year. We were at 16 last year, and now we're at 21. It seems like only 5 spots, but those are 5 more players that aren't going to be there. So it's a little bit of a different dynamic, but we're going through the same process that we went through last year, the last week or so, and feel real comfortable.
Would you say you have more needs on defense and offense after some of the moves you've made and the personnel you have in place?
I don't think so. I think it's probably equal on both sides of the ball right now. I mean, some of the moves we made, obviously, on the offensive line, that may take one position, off the board early in the draft. But I think other than offensive line, we're open to adding prospects and adding players to help us win.
You mentioned best player available. I'm just curious what the benefits are to how you build the roster that you can go just about any position early, but maybe don't need to target a specific position around one because you have depth in a lot of areas.
Yeah, ideally, like once you get to the team exactly how you want it, which we're not exactly how we want it right now, we're working towards that. It's a great thing to just say, hey, I'm going to take the best player available because we have depth everywhere. But unfortunately, that's not realistic with where our roster is currently. But this last year was, when we took Taylor Decker in the first round, that was a position we targeted from the moment I probably stepped in the building last January as something where I think we needed to upgrade. But after being here for a year, going through the season, I think it's prudent to take the best player available because if you pass over a great player, no matter what the position, I think you're always going to look back and try to and probably regret that.
How many great players are there in the draft?
How do you define great?
How would you define it, I guess?
That's not a word that we really use in scouting. I mean, we use a lot of adjectives to describe players, but we kind of go with, rare. And I'd say on a yearly basis, there's under 10 rare players in each draft. So once you get past the first couple guys, it's kind of player you're looking for?
I would say so, yes.
Well, you said there's some talks now. When teams talk at this point, is it just to kind of feel out what the flexibility might be as you move towards that night and understanding who might be willing to move around?
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, so it's teams calling and saying, hey, you know, are you guys willing to move up? You willing to move down? Hey, we're at number so-and-so. We're definitely looking to move up. So you kind of just really very general basic calls that either I take or somebody in our pro personnel department takes, and we kind of just keep a master list of what other teams are willing to do. And then when we look at it early next week, you can kind of hone in on the teams that you may or may not have interest doing business with on draft weekend.
Your board, is it like ranked, and then as players come up, you automatically will take the next player on your board that's available?
I'm not going to get into exactly how our board's constructed, but yeah, I mean, each player is ranked within their position group, so that's how kind of how we go about it.
How many players do you end up having as a sort of a draftable list? I mean, Kasarian was talking about how they have a short list, 50, 75 guys. Is it similar for you here?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it varies from year to year based on, you know, how many picks you have, what the draft class looks like. I'd say in general, it could be as low as 90 or 100 or as high as 200. I think it's somewhere in the middle of those two numbers based on the year. I'm not going to give you the exact number we have currently, but it's in that range.
You come from an organization that has a reputation for trading down. What's the philosophy or what's the reasoning if you were to go trade up? What would be, I guess, some of the contingencies there?
Yeah, to trade up, you obviously have a player that you covet and you're willing to give up, you know, resources to go up and get them. So you got to have a very, very strong conviction on that player that you're going to give up something to get that guy, whether you're going to move up 4 spots, 10 spots, however many spots you need to move up. And it's not even the first round. It's even, you know, you can do that stuff later in the draft as well. But you got to say, all right, well, I'm going to give up this other pick, whether it's, you know, a seventh or a fifth or maybe next year's third or whatever the case may be. You got to have to weigh that and say, all right, well, I have a very strong conviction on this player. Am I willing to give up that pick or that player that's already on our team to move up to get that? So it's something that's – it's a balancing act, and you try to do as much research before the draft so you have all the information – kind of in front of you come draft weekend.
How many are in the room with you, Bob, in that 10-minute span that you have to make the pick to have input?
Well, I'd say there's probably upwards of 20-some-odd people in the room, and I'm not soliciting opinions of all those 20 when we're on the clock. But what I'm saying is, though, all the scouts, the coaches – anybody in the personnel coaching departments, they have their time to say their piece on their players, and that's well before the draft. No one's coming in the draft room when we're on the clock saying, hey, Bob, what about, can we take this guy? Like, that's not going to happen. That hasn't happened. It's not going to happen. So their opinions are already done. It's a very small group. You know, I talk a lot with Coach Caldwell. I talk a lot with Kyle O'Brien, and I talk a lot with Lance Newmark about the draft. Like, when it comes down to it, like when we really discuss, like, yeah, there's 4 or 5 guys we're considering in the fifth round, like those are the people that I'm going to rely on because everyone else has submitted their opinions well in advance.
Are you going to have the lucky bat this year?
That's a good question. The bat's actually like in a case in my office right now, so I'm going to have to pry it open, and I think I'm probably going to do that.
Yeah. Case because it was so lucky for you last year, or so good for you last year?
I don't believe in luck. I believe in hard work, so I think we've done our hard work here.
How much do you adhere to advanced matrix, not only their metrics, not only in this draft process, but also like when you look at your roster and free agency? Are you a big proponent of that?
Can you kind of like in terms of what metrics are you talking about?
They do some of the, you know, in terms of a running back, how much efficiency, you might not have 700 yards, but efficiency running the football might not have huge stats, but he has efficient metrics in terms of running the football, average yards per carry. How much of that stuff do you deal in this draft
process? It's part of it. I think, you know, it's a small part of it. You can't always judge a player by his stats because you don't know exactly, you know, what the schemes they're asking him to run, or if the quarterback's looking at his best friend throwing to him, you know, 100 times over the course of a year, and the other guy's wide open, he's not getting the ball. So there's a lot of different things that go into it. Do I look at the stats? Absolutely. Is it the end-all, be-all of, like, the final ranking? Absolutely not.
How could what you do in the draft affect what you would do with Eric Ebron's fifth-year option?
It's a possibility. We're still in the process of evaluating, you know, Eric's situation. We have till May 2nd, so we'll use our time.
How do you feel about the personnel of your defense? Would you like to augment it? Where do you stand personnel-wise?
Yeah, I'd say I'd like to augment any position on the team. That's, you know, defensive line, linebackers, secondary. There's players that can help us that are better than the players that we have currently on the team, then I'm all for it. And I think there's a number of options in this year's draft, not only on the defensive side of the ball, but on the offensive side of the ball that can help us win games.
How do you balance playmakers with three down guys?
It's something we talk about. That's a really good question. That's something where you really have to dive into some of the specifics about the player and talk to the coaches and say, all right, if we bring this player in and we've all evaluated him, the scouts have evaluated him, the coaches have evaluated him, how are we going to use this player? Okay. Is this guy a first and second down player? Okay. Well, yeah, he's a really good first and second down player, but third down, we just have some questions about it. Or, you know, maybe the third down has a little question, but we know on fourth down on special teams, he's going to be, you know, a dynamo and be a really impact player in the kicking game. So I think all those, we do break it down by down. So it's very important to have a clear vision of how you're going to use the guy in every scenario during the course of a game. Is he going to be in our base defense? Is he going to be in our nickel? Is he going to be in our dime? How many special teams is he going to play on? Like that's a question that I ask our scouts and our special teams coaches all the time. Like this guy might be a good special teams player, but he can only play as a gunner. Oh, is he going to play on kickoff return? Is he going to play on punt return? Because that factors into the value that I place in the end on each individual player in the draft.
This kind of piggybacks off that question, but Andy Reid was interviewed on TV a couple, 3-4 weeks ago, whatever it was, and he talked, you know, about that issue, and he said players were considered as specialists or tweeners years ago and now are more valuable because of the sub packages and all that. Is that part of what you're talking about now, that it's what they do when they're on the field?
Yeah, that's a huge part of it, and I've said it, you know, a bunch of times the last couple of months is we're in our sub defense 70% of the time. So, you know, the days of us having three linebackers on the field are, you know, it's 10 to 15 snaps per game. So, you know, Mike, I think it's an interesting question because that's kind of evolved over the years about, you know, how you use players, how many different defensive packages do you have on your team? 15 years ago, you might only have a base defense and a nickel, and that's it. Nowadays, like, you know, we got 6, 7, 8 different personnel groupings we use on defense. So, you know, we analyze that and study how many times we use each one and what the roles are and how different players on defense fit into those descriptions.
When you're mulling a draft pick, how much do you take into account what still is out there free agency-wise at that particular position? Is that very important?
I'd say minimally at this point. Because, I mean, I look at the free agent board on a daily basis, and there's, you know, there's a few guys left out there. But I don't think there's a lot of guys that are going to be, like, huge difference makers. It comes into play, I'd say, in the later stages of the draft when you're kind of saying, well, you know, I can maybe wait draft in this position because I know there's a free agent out there that's, you know, a minimum contract type of guy that can probably fill the same role.
Early in free agency, how much of what you did is a reaction to sort of what you see in the draft class, specifically like on the offensive line? Was that in part of looking at this year's draft class and just feeling more confident about the guys in free agency?
That was definitely part of it. That's something that I definitely look at and study because you have to have going into the offseason, you have to take the balance of what are the strengths of the draft at that time. We're talking about like February. Sometimes the strengths of the draft really don't manifest themselves till after the combine. So you kind of have to go into it very early on saying, well, all right, this is going to be a strength in free agency. This is going to be a weakness in the draft, and you do have to adjust. So to answer your question, yes, that's definitely part of what we talk about, what we evaluate.
What do you see as the strengths of the draft this year?
This draft, I think, has a number of playmakers. I think running back has a number of players that are going to be able to contribute early in their careers, wide receivers, both positions in the secondary, tight end. I think those are the ones that jump out.
And in the state of Michigan, not that you, I mean, you certainly can get into specifics, but just in general, Michigan, Michigan State, you know, Western, obviously, as a guy, how strong is the talent?
It's a really strong class this year. It was easy during the football season to drive and watch practice and games during the course of the fall. You know, I think the players at Michigan, you know, as you guys know, we were over at the Pro Day, and we had a number of them over here for our local Pro Day. You know, Coach Harbaugh and his staff do an incredible job developing players, getting them ready for the NFL. So they have a very strong class. Michigan State probably doesn't have quite as many this year, but, you know, they're in it year in and year out. They're a team that also, you know, develops pro players. And, you know, we've been over to Western a couple of times. So not only just for the receiver, but they have other prospects that we've looked at.
How much do you weigh in what school a guy went to? Like, if you've had good luck with guys from Michigan or whatever, I mean, does that play into it at all? Or
not too much. I think it's really not the school. It might factor in with, like, the coaching staff. Because, you know, coaching staffs have moved from school to school, from college to pro. So I think it's more the specific guys who might be the head coach, might be the coordinator. You might have a relationship with an assistant coach that you get really good information on certain guys that you feel stronger about than you do maybe at some other schools. So it factors in more with the coaches than it does the actual schools.
The running back position, a lot of people seem to believe that this lacks a power running element to complement what maybe Amir and Theo do. But can you get in trouble chasing a skill set need versus maybe finding another guy that's like Amir, that if you get into the injury situation you had last year, you can plug a guy in and keep, you know, some kind of schematic consistency?
Yeah, I think you can get in trouble chasing positions based on, like, body types and skill sets. I think you have to, you know, if you're looking at running backs, you got to take the best running back. And you're going to know his strengths. You're going to know his limitations in terms of catching the ball, or he's a big back that runs between the tackles, or he's a sub back that catches the ball. So, yeah, I don't want to get into chasing body types and specific skill sets.
Bob, you lost Andre Roberts in free agency. Mm-hmm. How much do you like your in-house candidates at that returner, and how much of a need do you see returner being in the draft?
Yeah, we have some guys on the team right now that we feel would be candidates to be the returner. You know, we got, you know, Dwayne Washington's coming back, and we liked obviously what he did in the preseason last year as a kick returner, and think he has a good future doing that. And we have you know, Chase Billingsley, TJ Jones, a couple other players that haven't returned too much in their career, but we're working with them this spring to kind of develop that. So it's an area that we're looking at, and we'll kind of see how that works out in the next couple of weeks.
As someone who knew Aaron Hernandez, what are your thoughts on his passing in his life?
Yeah, I think it's an extremely unfortunate set of circumstances on many, many levels that affected many, many people. And, you know, I read something that, you know, Coach Belichick said a couple weeks ago, and he used the word tragedy, and I think that's the perfect word to describe it.
What did you maybe learn from that experience? I know you weren't obviously pulling the trigger, but just your, you know, the willingness to take risks, or what risks are worth taking as an organization?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a case-by-case thing. It's you can't clump all character or physical risks the same. You got to take each individual player and prospect and do your due diligence in terms of how you think that player is going to fit on the field. And then you got to kind of really evaluate how the fit's going to be off the field. And it's a really hard situation. It's the off-the-field things that a number of prospects have every year. You have to evaluate it and make the best decision you think for your football team. And it's something we spent a lot of time on.
You guys took a lot of, you know, high character guys last year, captains, and people that had that in their background. It's obviously, how important is that to you in terms of, you know, building the roster you have? And maybe because you have a lot of those guys in-house, can that help if you do take a risk at some point in the draft with some of those guys?
Yeah, I mean, yes, we did last year. We took a lot of high character captains. I think that's really important. That's something that we look at, and we ask our scouts to go out and find the guys that are leaders on their team, the guys that are high character, guys that love football. We talked about that last time we met, about that's a question that I always ask to our personnel staff. And at the right time to take a character risk, it has to be at the right price, and it has to be a player that you've done your due diligence and you've done your work on, and you feel good about him being able to come into a situation with the support staff and the team ready to embrace a player like that.
You were asked earlier about trading back in the draft. That's supposed to be part of the Patriot way. Mm-hmm. Going into this year now, how much, if anything, it seems kind of hard to define the Patriot way. What can translate from that to Detroit now as you go into your second year? Not just draft, maybe the overall offseason.
Trying to stay away from the whole Patriot Way terminology because we this is Detroit. But, you know, we did have a history of trading back when I was there, but I think every year is different. I mean, every circumstance is different. So we're trying to do things our way here and trying to set a new path here and do things the right way for the Detroit Lions.
What's the Lions' way?
Trying to improve the football team. I think the draft is a very – it's one of, if not the most important, one of the very – top two things to improve your team every year. So we take it very seriously, and we think it's we think this year's draft is very deep at the positions that we're looking at, and we're hoping to not only improve the players on the field, but improve the overall locker room, the type of guys we want, and hopefully that translates to wins.
I know you probably don't want to talk about specific players mm-hmm. in this draft, but Joe Mixon's a guy you've been linked to quite a bit. Is he still on your board?
Yeah, I'm not going to comment on who may or may not be on or off our board right now. It's, you know, too close to the draft to be given away.
Would you feel comfortable drafting him with his past?
Not going to comment on any specific player one way or the other.
How much do you look to future drafts, strengths of future drafts, say next year's draft, and how does that affect then this draft, you know, positions that might be strong next year versus this year? Is there that projection that goes on?
Yeah, that's really hard to project. You know, one thing we do with our scouts is when our scouts are at pro days evaluating this year's draft class, we ask them to spend a couple extra hours at that school and talk to the coaches there about who they may have for next year's draft. And we kind of do a priority list on schools. We can look at that, but the information right now as of today's date is so unreliable that it's really hard to say.
Mind going into this draft of how many players you want to get that you think can play immediately, start immediately, even impact immediately?
As many as possible.
I mean, is that possible?
Well, I mean, last year we had, 10 draft picks and, eight of them played as rookies? Is that what the stat was? So, I mean, we have 8 draft picks this year. Hopefully we can get 8 guys to contribute. I mean, sometimes that happens, sometimes it doesn't. But my goal is every draft pick that we take is either going to contribute at the team at some point in their rookie year, if not by their second year at the very latest.
I want to go back to Ebron for a quick second. Why have you guys not made that decision yet? I mean, all his work is in the, you know, pay is in the bargain in terms of that. So far, you've seen what he can do in the field. So why? What's the holdup, I guess, in terms of making that?
Just something that we've talked very little about over the past couple months, and this is the deadline's coming up in 2 weeks, so we'll spend the next 2 weeks discussing it, and we'll kind of see how it goes.
Want to do in your mind, though?
I have an idea, but my mind is not made up.
Do you guys get a kick out of all the mock drafts? You sit there and look at them and say, what's this guy even thinking about?
I do look at them, absolutely. Yeah. It's funny because I think some are fairly accurate and some are like completely not even close.
Which ones are close?
I can't tell you that. But it is something we look at. We have one of our guys in-house here. He puts together a nice little chart for us, and he emails us to us once a week, and we sit back and print it off and kind of see where we who we're taking. Everyone else knows except for me.
Are you amazed at how that has become such a cottage industry?
Yeah, it's good for like ex-scouts and personnel guys that actually have jobs out there. They can like, you know, have no, you know, just pick players for other teams and no accountability. It's great.
You said last year that you're selecting a quarterback, you know, somewhere in the draft every 2 years or every year is good business. You still have that philosophy? Why is it
yeah.
good business?
I do, because it's a premium position. Not to say that we're taking one every year, but we evaluate the quarterback position thoroughly every year. So it's something that we may or may not do.